Haggai chapter 2. And I'd like us to read, and there's only two chapters, so I'd like us to read the first 9 verses of this second chapter, please. Haggai chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people. Now notice in that verse that he was sending the same message to the governor, to the high priest, and to the totality of the people. Send it to these, to the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give you peace, saith the Lord of hosts. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. And may we go again to the throne of grace in prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thou art still the Lord of hosts. As we come today, we bow ourselves before You to hear You speak to us. We are reminded in this passage of Your word that You send a word to governors. You send a word to religious leaders. You send a word to the residue or the remainder of the people. And yet as You sent the word, Father, You sent the same message. And so to each of us tonight would come the message of Your word, no matter where we are in our lives or what a circumstance we might find ourselves. The encouragement that's given in this passage is a word which we need to hear. Help us, dear Father, as we hear it, stir our hearts through it. Convict us and convince us if there's part of it from which we've looked away, and draw us again into Your favor, that we might stand by the encouragement and the divine plan of the Lord of hosts. Bless Your word to our hearts. Stir our hearts to Your service. And bless Your people to glorify Your name. In Christ's name I pray, and amen. If you look in this passage, the book of Haggai is a writing from the Lord to a people who had reached somewhat of a place of stale service. I'm not going to try to read all the various passages, but there are things that are recorded for us in the writings of Ezra as well as of Nehemiah. But you'll find that this Israel had in three groups of people were coming back from Babylon. Darius had begun the process of sending them back to the land of Israel. And once that process started, one of the first things that occurred was the laying of the foundation to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. You remember that when Babylon came in to destroy, they carried away people. They left some people. But one thing they did not leave, and it was by God's own declaration, because of the idolatry of Israel, the temple was destroyed, the gates of the city were burned, the wall was broken down, and there was not left one stone upon another, the scripture says, regarding the building of the temple. So the people were carried away. That temple that Solomon had built, and that building which Solomon had adorned with all of the wealth and the gold and all that had been done, that temple was a memory in the minds of Israel. That building, in our country today, if you were to think of a building that stands as the picture, the identity picture of the United States, what building, what might you think of? Perhaps the White House? Perhaps the Capitol building? But the idea is that there are certain buildings that carry the identity of a nation. Recently, it's been a few years ago now, I don't remember exactly how many, but one of those buildings in the nation of France that had been part of their identity was the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And when it burnt, there was a black mark on the identity of the nation for a while, because there was part of their history that was gone. God forbid, but if there was a some kind of a catastrophe and either the Capitol building or the White House were destroyed for whatever the reason, and you thought back about that memory. We do that today with the Twin Towers in New York. We think back about them. And that's what was happening. They thought back about that original temple. Zerubbabel, as the governor, was given encouragement from the Lord. And if you go back in the book of Ezra, and where he had been given instruction of what to do, he began to lay that foundation. But notice in verse 12 of Ezra chapter 3, many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping, but the fact was, the people looked upon, those that had some memory of that first temple, looked upon the meager building, and it was not nearly the size. It was just plain stone at that point. It was just a flat foundation that was laid out there. And it lacked the glory, and they had within their minds, oh, this house will never be as good as what we used to have. And that idea brought them to a standstill in the construction of God's house that lasted somewhere in 10 years or more. They were so disappointed. They were so discouraged. They remembered the gold that plated the doors. They remembered the beauty of the building that stood at the top of Zion. And they had none of those resources. David had saved up money for supplies for the last part of his reign. He wanted to build a temple, but God said, no, you won't, but your son will. And David dedicated the remainder of his reign to storing up things that would be used in that building. Solomon was given resources greater than any other king around him. And all of the wealth went into that first building, and it was a splendid, marvelous structure. And then they see, after 70 years, some of the old men who remembered what it was like, and they so discouraged the people that they stopped. Oh, we don't have the money. Oh, we can't accomplish this. And if you go back into the first chapter of the book of Haggai, you'll find that God chastised or chided the people, and I'm not going to take time to read all of it, but one of the things he told them was, you've sown much and you've gathered little, you've made money and put it in bags with holes in it. Why? Because you built your sealed houses, you've built your homes that are insulated and paneled on the inside, and I understand the idea of their sealed houses was that they had wooden covering on the walls on the inside. If their houses were often stone, and they had the wooden covering on the inside, and they fixed their house up, but the house of God lay idol. And twice God sent the message, consider your ways. The message comes back. It comes to Zerubbabel, who had the responsibility of leading and marshaling the powers and the resources of the people. And remember, at this point in time, Nehemiah hasn't come back yet to build the wall. The wall hasn't been reconstructed. The adversaries kind of run to and fro through the city. And yet God says, build my house. I want you to notice God's word to the governor and to the high priest and to the residue, the rest of the people. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How many of you, Haggai said, remember what it used to be like? You know, I remember through the years of my ministry, I've heard it said many times, oh, I remember when they used to have to leave the windows up and people would stand outside. I remember when. I remember we used to have this. I remember we used to have that. And by the way, folks, some of you have said it. I've said it. The fact of the matter is, people have been saying it for a long time. It's not limited here. These people were saying it. But God said, You remember what it was like. I used to laugh from some of the things that I was told as a boy in West Tennessee. I remember when they used to have to stand outside because they couldn't all get in. What they didn't tell them was half the ones that were standing outside trading knives, talking politics, and chewing tobacco. They weren't listening to what was going on in the house. I know that because I had some uncles who were telling me that part of the story. But you see, as we look back, we tend to get these glamorized images of what it used to be like. And God says, how many of you remember and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as nothing? Haven't you written it off? Haven't you disregarded what I told Zerubbabel to do because it doesn't meet your expectation? Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people. Why? We don't have enough to read. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, we look sometimes at what we don't have, and we tend to overlook the fact that the Lord who owns it all is with us. We can't see Him. He ain't walked in a suit and tie and sat down in a seat with us. But He's here. He's in our midst. Why? He goes on to say, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. I told you I was going to give you an inheritance. You can look back through the things that God promised Israel when He brought them out of the land of Egypt. And He brought them through the wilderness. And He brought them into the land of Canaan. He said, first of all, that they were His people based on a promise made to Abraham. He sent Moses to lead them out. He fed them every day with manna. He gave them quail, even to the point that they got a belly full and got sick at their stomach from it because they complained about it. He gave them water when there was none to drink. He overcame their adversaries. He destroyed the Egyptian army, the most powerful army and adversary in the world. He drowned them. He overcame the Amalekites simply by giving two men the ability to hold up Moses' arms, because when his arms got tired and his rod dropped, they began to lose the fight. But simply by the elevation of the rod of God in Moses' hands, the adversary was defeated. They had divided to them a land that flowed with milk and honey, because God had promised it to them. And He said, I am with you. This is my inheritance that I give to you. And He made the statement to them. They weren't to sell it. It was His land that they were given. And the whole idea was everything they had in that inheritance was theirs because God had said, I give it to you and I'm with you. And He goes on over in the fifth verse, the last three words in that fifth verse. I've covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. And watch those next three words. Fear ye not. How many times is that expression or a comparable expression given from God to His people? Fear not. Be not afraid. Fear ye not. But you see, they lost sight of what God reminded them of in verses 6, 7, and 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, in other words, one time, I'm going to do so. It'll be a while yet. I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry ground, the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house. What? Which house? The one that had this barren foundation laying there that nobody could see a way to build. The one that had gotten started but hadn't been finished. The one that people despaired over because it wasn't like they remembered the other one being. I'm going to do something. It's going to be a little while, but it's going to happen. It's just as sure as it was when I told you I was going to bring you out of Egypt. It's just as sure as it is now that I said I'm with you. I'm going to do something with this house. And what was he going to do? The desire of all nations shall come. And may I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, what was the desire of all nations? Some of you may remember the writing of a man, I believe it was Johann Bach, recorded a piece of music, Jesus, Joy of Man's Desiring. You see, folks, whether it was in the 1600s or whether it was when Babylon came, when Israel came back out of Babylon, or whether it's today, the joy of the desire of God's people from all nations is Jesus Christ. He came into that house that Zerubbabel later finished, to that house that was built and later on Herod would fancy it and he would add to it. Later on, this house that was many years in building, that's why when Jesus said, tear down this house and 3 days later I'll build it up, they said, oh, if this house was 40 years in being built, how are you going to build it in 3 days? You see, folks, the house of God, the church, the temple was a picture of the church, and is a picture of our bodies. And God says in His writing to the church at Corinth, He said, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And He said, I'm going to fill it with glory. We look at the church today sometimes and we lose sight of the fact that it's plain. By worldly standards, it's not ornamented and ostentatious and big and fancy and all of them words that go with it. It's just plain, ordinary folks. That's the real key of the church. It's the residue of the people. And we are the house of God. And God said, I'm with you. And what He also says in verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. I've got all the resources you need. If I'm here, I'll give you what I want you to have and what you need to do my work. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. And in this place will I give you peace, saith the Lord. You see, brothers and sisters, we often spend our time looking back rather than looking forward to the promise that God's given us. God shook things up when Jesus came. He'll shake them up again when Jesus comes back. And in His presence, we'll have peace. We don't have much of it now. we hear a lot more discord than we hear peace. And unfortunately, I'll tell you something, beloved. We allow what we hear in the world to do for us what they did when they saw the effort made. Oh, that's not enough. It's not going to be enough. The enemies are still running through Jerusalem. The wall's not built. And this is wrong and that's wrong. And we allow ourselves to lose sight of the fact that God said, I am with you. Fear ye not. The gold is mine. The silver's mine. Oh, you remember what He said to us about our inheritance? We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that which belongs to Jesus is given to us because we are chosen in Jesus. We're redeemed in Jesus and the glory of His house is in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus comes in our midst, there is no more glorious place that can be. We may meet at some point in time under a brush arbor again. It happened before. Oh, that was back then. Yeah. But guess what? Jesus was there. We may have to meet in a cave. The Romans met believers in Rome met in the caverns underneath the streets of the city. But guess what? Jesus was there. And the hope of life eternal was just as true. Fairest Lord Jesus was written down in 1677. Guess what? He's still fairer than all else. And He said, I am with you. Based on the covenant that He made, based on the promise that He made, He said, I will give you peace. Folks, the message of the Old Testament prophets sometimes is taken because of the promise of judgment, the call for repentance. Oh, those are hard books, but I'm going to tell you that passage right there is one of the sweetest passages. Or the Lord said, look, take an honest look. He said in the previous chapter, consider your ways. I would challenge you tonight to consider your ways. Where do you look? How do you value this house? Do you count it as not very glamorous? It's not what it used to be. We don't have as many people as we used to have. We don't have all the activities we used to have. This is not the same. That's not the same. I remember when... Well, listen. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, I remember when He came into my heart and the glory of the Lord filled this temple. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we can live in the peace that He gives us in His presence. I would challenge you, look forward to the promise that God gives rather than backwards to what used to be. Lord, help us to see what You've promised us ahead. You said in this world we shall have tribulation, but You said that You would give us peace. Peace not as the world gives us, but Your peace, because You're with us. Oh Lord, help us to understand that Your house is glorious because You are here. Help us to understand that Your church is glorious because of the desire of all nations. Your people chosen out of every nation in every generation desire the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to rest in the fact that all that we need is already Yours and You will give it to us. because you've made your promise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name,
amen.